From time to time, it always fascinates me, but from time to time, other people say they really wish they lived in, and they'll name some specific area of the past, some time zone, some great season, whether they're young men who long to be knights, or perhaps they just wish for a happier time. They get nostalgic about some time in the past and think, man, I really wish I lived in that time. And as fascinating as all the times of history are, and really to study them is such an adventure. I am grateful for the modern era, mostly for modern medicine, so I don't usually get nostalgic about wishing I lived at a time when leprosy killed and smallpox was fatal and all kinds of other challenges, but I am fascinated, genuinely fascinated, by the wise men from the East and the gift that they had in what they did. Conceptually, we can talk about the application in a second, but conceptually, at this time, there would have been, for every king, an opportunity to have a group of advisors. Their sole goal in life was to learn and to learn more and use what they learned to build on that knowledge so that they could learn more. They were freed from the concerns of worrying about where their next rent payment was going to come from, or where their next meal was going to come from. They were free from these immediate concerns that press everyone, so that they could pursue greater ideas, to pursue knowledge for the sake of learning. And this concept is fascinating to me. I mean, it's just an incredible opportunity in so many ways. I mean, it sounds nice in its concept, I'm sure in its application it was abused at times. Realize that these great thinkers, these great learners, they were advisors to the king, and so maybe not every king was always excited about the concept of learning and mostly pursued his advisors to just learn for the sake of benefiting him, so maybe they didn't always get to study what they wanted. I mean, it's not perfect, and I'm not going to tell you that it was some flawless job by any stretch of the imagination, but I am fascinated by this genuine opportunity of these wise men who come from the East, who have been free to study these great things. Consider for a moment that these men had the opportunity to look up at the stars every night and watch how they moved. Watch how they shifted. Watch how they changed. And then consider how that affects their lives on Earth. They weren't so lost in the stars that they failed to pay attention to what was going on in front of them. But they weren't so focused on what was going on in front of them that they failed to see that there's a bigger picture involved, that there's something more going on. And it's genuinely interesting because in so many ways, consider for a moment that gospel. Three wise men show up from the East, maybe from Babylon. Babylon had an incredible college of wise men, this opportunity to pursue knowledge for the sake of knowledge. They had this incredible group of gifted people who were able to pursue this information. And they show up at Herod's doorstep. And how truly remarkable that is, just because, consider for a moment, that Herod too would have been freed from worrying about where his next meal was coming from. He was pretty set for life. He had his own college of advisors, his own group of counselors who, in theory, could be staring up at the stars just like these wise men from the East, who could have been looking at the very same gifts, who could have been looking at the very same signs. But they didn't. Despite being right in front of them, they didn't even see them. And so these strangers, these faraway travelers, they come in and they say, "Where is this newborn king? Because we've seen his star. We've seen this remarkable sign in the sky. We've seen something that is flatly in front of everyone, but only if we have the opportunity to look." And what does Herod say? He's troubled. He's worried. He's concerned. Because this is going on right under his nose, and he isn't even paying attention to it. So he goes to his counselors and says, "Where is he? What is it? What do they see that we don't?" And they say, "Well, we know what Scripture says. Scripture says he's born in Bethlehem, so they should probably head to Bethlehem. But we weren't looking either. We know that Scripture points to it. But we're not paying attention to the thing that's right in front of us." So Herod comes back and he finds out how long they've been watching the sign. He comes back and he finds out how far they've pursued this. To what detail? To what degree? And they explain it to him. And then he tells them, it's in Bethlehem. Gives him directions and says, let me know what you find. Ready to press counselors to be manipulated to his own ends. No longer knowledge for the sake of knowledge, but so that he can secure his political position. And what does that mean for any of us? What does that all come down to for us? Well, I think it's an important opportunity for all of us to consider for a moment, what are we focusing on? I mean, genuinely, we still have to worry about making sure we pay rent or mortgage or however it is that we're securing housing. Genuinely, we want to make sure that we know that we have another meal coming. It's not like we want to live in the constant fear that we have no idea if we're going to eat tomorrow. But how far ahead do we have to plan before we consider some of the more profound things? You see, the challenge is that Herod became so focused on his next house or his next political party or his next big feast, or his next opportunity to gain points with the emperor. He was so focused on the things right around him that he never considered about the higher power. That remarkable reality where one day we will stand before God. The remarkable reality where there's more going on in life than the latest fad, and the latest trend, and the latest fashion, and the newest novelty. He lost complete sight of it. And these wise men, these wise strangers, notice that wise men and wise strangers get to be the same thing, but wise men and wise guys do not get to be the same thing. So I always have to make sure we phrase this very carefully. But these wise men, these wise strangers, they show up and they have this gift of knowing what's right in front of them. And they don't even see it. It's fascinating. It's fascinating in so many ways. I think about in seminary, where all of us were supposed to be studying to be priests. We're all supposed to study to be men of prayer and witness. I tell you what, we ran past the fact that we had beautiful chapels all the time. Oh, we're so busy, we're so busy, we're so busy. I actually used to ask the seminarians. I'd wait till the end of their first year, so they had at least 9 months on campus. And I'd say, how many chapels are there on this campus? And they'd look at me and go, well, two. Some of them would say three. It's about as far as they got. By the way, there are 5 chapels on Mundelein's campus and a 6th one in the convent, but we never get to go there. 2. I'd ask them, what art is in the main chapel? You know, that building you go to every day to pray. I actually had one seminary look me in the eye and go, there's art in the main chapel? I don't care if you know the name of the artist. I care if you can pay attention to what's going on in front of you. There's a genuine reminder to us. And I think it's so powerful and such a great opportunity to begin a year with this very simple consideration. Are we so focused on the immediate, the short term, the things of this earth, that we've forgotten that there's a bigger picture, that there's other things going on in our lives, that there's something else going on beyond our lives, that there is a larger world that we're a part of that we should be engaged in? It's always fascinating to me, especially when we talk about time, because so often I had a neighbor when I lived in New Lenox. And I was bothered one day by the fact that people always tell me that time was flying. Oh, it happened so fast. And can you believe that this one grew up so fast and this one grew up so fast? I was 9 years old. Can you believe that this other person grew up so fast? And gosh, I remember when they were no taller than this. And I said something to my neighbor. I said, do people forget how clocks work when they get old? And my neighbor looked at me and he smiled. And he said, well, no. He said, but if you watch something real carefully and you put all your focus there, you forget that there's other things to focus on. I asked him, is that how you spend 8 hours in your garage? He said, yeah, that's basically how that works, yeah. He said, time always moves at the same speed. It's whether or not we pay attention. As we begin this new year, pay attention. And you'd be amazed. Everything keeps moving at the same speed. It's just what we're focused on.